Hour two, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game, brought to you by First Horizon, Big Bank Muscle, Small Bank Hustle. Visit firsthorizon.com/get it all. Live from our Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating and Air Conditioning, Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership where the buzz is always about great service. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ian Safar here with you. We welcome in our friend Jared Stillman to the program, as we do every Friday morning at 7 o'clock. Stilly, good morning. How are you?
I am fabulous. How are you guys?
Fabulous as well. Appreciate you taking time to be with us this morning. Stilly, we were just having a conversation about how tough things are for the sports fan right now in terms of the cost of everything. And I want to drill down on that with you, with the NFL part of this, as somebody who really pays attention to this and where things are headed here. I heard you talking yesterday about the TV deals that are coming up in 2029, and I think Monday Night Football, you said, is 2030. So where do you think all this is headed with the future of the TV deals in the NFL, where fans are going to be able to find games, and how much more involved all the streaming services are going to be?
First of all, I just want to point out the irony that there was an article in The Athletic about how you have to pay to be a sports fan when you have to pay in order to read The Athletic, which I thought when
that is funny. No, that is funny. It wasn't the Athletic, but yes.
Oh, I thought it was a June Lee story in The Athletic.
It's New York Times, but
it was a New York Times guest essay. But still,
a New York Times.
That is a correct use of irony. So I give you credit for that.
I thought that was funny, because I read the same article. The fact is, like, Major League Baseball, and I've just realized this, Major League Baseball is the poster child for not really caring about the fans. And the idea that they can put games on Apple TV and Roku and, you know, the different streaming services, I think, like, in order to be a Yankee fan, you have to have the YES Network, which, like all the other regional sports networks, is becoming increasingly harder to get. You have to have Amazon Prime, because Prime has a handful of Yankee games for some reason. You have to have cable that has all the cable networks, you know, ESPN for Sunday Night Baseball, FS1, etc. You have to have Apple TV, because every Friday night the Yankees are apparently on Apple TV. And I think there's like two other streaming services you have to have just in order to watch the Yankees inside of New York. And the truth is they don't care. Like, as bad as it sounds, like, hey, these games aren't very accessible to the fans, they really don't care. What Major League Baseball does want is they want for the ability to end the local blackouts that have just crushed their sport, you know, for years with fan support for probably the last decade or so. They're trying to get rid of that, and they have to do it one TV contract at a time. But outside of that, and the only reason they care about that is because they want people to buy their own streaming product, MLB TV. They don't care. Like, baseball does not care that on a Friday night, it may be hard for you to watch your team if you don't have Apple TV and your team is on the Apple game. They don't care. And I think that it's increasingly obvious that even the NFL, who used to prioritize, the NFL almost turned down $400 million from Fox 25 years ago, or really 30 years ago. They almost turned down $400 million a year from Fox for $250 million a year from CBS, just because they thought CBS was more important with its distribution. When the SEC signed their TV contract with CBS, Mike Slive, the commissioner at the time, said, well, the most important thing was to be on CBS because that was such a premier network. They don't care about that anymore. So instead of sitting there and trying to analyze this idea of where this is all headed, I mean, the reality is sports, live sports, is the one thing that it just seems like people will not watch on their own time. Anything else they can DVR. And so because of that, it allows these streamers to get involved, and streamers cost money, and the leagues do not care. They do not care that they're going to put their Stanley Cup final games on cable. They don't care. And I've just realized that. Again, you're going to have the Western Conference, Eastern Conference final every other year in basketball on Amazon. They don't care. They had a playoff game on Peacock. They don't care.
Will you be live watching, or will you just record and watch later the Cam Ward documentary that's sure to signal the end of his career?
Well, so I think
have you already abandoned him? Is he toast? Is he toast because of this, Jim?
I think Tubi is free, but I still don't have it. I don't know how to get it. And in September, I'll probably be worried about the 17-week Cambord docuseries that I probably won't be paying attention to the 6-week Cambord docuseries. Let me just say this. First of all, it's nice for once not to be the guy who's the most negative about somebody's bullcrap. I would believe that would belong to Buck, who I think
Andrew got mad.
I mean, he just went scorched earth about the Cambord docuseries. I didn't go that crazy about it. I will say this. I'm not going to watch. I'm also tired of this idea like, oh, wow, Cam Ward, he was a zero-star recruit. Did you know that? I mean, there's always stories about Michael Jordan getting cut from his high school team. But the reason that that's such a great story is because Michael Jordan became the greatest basketball player who ever lived. You know, let's let Cam become the greatest football player who ever lives, and then we can talk about being a zero-star recruit. This idea that like, oh, man, wow, let's celebrate the accomplishment of being the number one overall draft pick, that doesn't do it for me. So, again, look, Tubi, I'm sure, is very happy with their purchase of the Cambord docuseries. I think it's a reflection of the Titans as much as anything that Cam Ward's management team shopped this docuseries and only Tubi wanted it. But I do feel like there are some parallels to the Summer of Mayonnaise, and I don't necessarily love it.
Jared, we've talked a lot this week about the situation the Predators find themselves in heading into the offseason. They make the Eric Halla trade the other day, which I'm not sure does a whole lot for me. But how do you view the job for Barry Trotz this summer in terms of if they are looking to be a team that gets back in the playoffs next year and is competitive, which I think is what they're trying to do. We'll see how that ends up playing out. Is there a realistic path to doing that this offseason in your mind?
I don't think the path is Eric Halla, but I mean, I do think that there is some possibility. Like, I wouldn't bank my career on it, but I do think there is some possibility that, and this is why I think I would have changed the coach, that all these guys playing together second year, they know how important the start of the season will be after they started off 0-5, that last year was a one-off and they'll be better this upcoming season. I guess there's a chance that's the case. I mean, the Yossi diagnosis certainly doesn't make me feel any better about that, but I think that's the possibility. I don't think there's any real player they can add or any real player they should add that would make them a competitor if these old pawpaws aren't any good anymore. Like, if it's the reality is, and I don't know this to be true or not, if the reality is that Stamkos, Marchessault, and Brady Shea just stink and Yossi is for the rest of his career an injury liability, and Saros is what I think he is, I don't really think that there's any player that they could go out there and add. I saw Predators fans complaining about Eric Halla and not going after Mason Marchment, yep. And I understand that, but I don't think the difference between Eric Halla and Mason Marchment is going to make you a 98-point team as opposed to, I don't even know how many points they had last year. You know, what was it, like 60? I don't think that that's going to swing the needle that far. I think the explanation on why they signed Halla is because I think they view him as somebody that can allow Fedor Svechkov to probably play a little bit more with defensive zone situations and that kind of thing. I think they plan to play Halla next to Svechkov, and then that way they think that they can put them on the ice for a defensive zone draw because they can put Halla in the dot. Again, I just don't think that you're an Eric Halla away one way. The players that they're paying need to play better away from them being a playoff team.
I don't know why it matters. We're not judging Barry Trotz till 2028, right?
Well, I mean, if the average for a general manager, and that's average, if the average is 4.79 years and he took over in 2023, then we would be looking at the average being till 2028, right?
Roughly.
Sure, exactly. So, I mean, this next season is meaningless. I just care if Edstrom's developing. I mean, that's really what matters.
Well, here's the thing. If my choice is what matters more to the Predators, that the Predators make it to the first round of the playoffs and get beaten 6 games, or they make it to the second round of the playoffs with these old pawpaws and they get gentlemen swept in 5 games, or these guys, whether it's Edstrom or Kimmel or Wood or Mullendyke or Stiga or Surin or the guy that they're going to pick 5th overall or the other 2 first-round picks become stars, I'll say, let's see if those guys can become stars on the other end. if I had to pick between which mattered to me more. It sounds, Joe, like to you, it matters more that they make the first round of the playoffs.
What matters to me is that a choice was made, which is to go for it, which you don't seem to be able to process. I mean, this entire
argument, Jared, that's not going for it. Signing old folks and putting them out there, I mean, there is a certain, like when Trot says,
while signing your goalie to an 8-year deal, because you are right now, well, how do you separate that? You can't compartmentalize that.
Going for it is when you mortgage your future. And just you saying no doesn't mean that that's not true. Going for it is the moment I remember we used to run a promo talking about they're going for it when they traded for Kyle Turris. When you start to mortgage your future, and look, the 8-year deals, I think, are a future type move. And the Saros deal and the Shea deal,
when you make that goalie choice, Jared, when you make that goalie choice, you're saying this is it right now because we have Josi in his window, because we have Forsberg in his window. Why? Because you had a young goalie.
Why is the goalie choice the defining moment of whether or not you should be winning today versus tomorrow?
Because you had a goalie that you chose in the first round, and we'll see. You know, he may not end up being that good anyway, but with the information available at the time. Huh?
Trotz didn't.
I understand that, but you, what does that matter? You had him in the system.
If
you had a
choice
to make.
Barry Trotz, I'm judging Barry Trotz on the things that Barry Trotz does.
Okay, so,
and the players
so
that Barry Trotz picks.
So now this is so classic you. So again, I'm not saying he made the choice that he picked Ascara, but he had the choice of the two goalies, did he not? That's what I'm talking about. So now
I think he made the wrong choice.
But he didn't pick Ascara.
But
when you make that choice, Jared, you can't argue that this doesn't count. He didn't mortgage picks for it, so it doesn't count.
I think he made the wrong choice. I think he made the wrong choice on Saros. I've told him that he made the wrong choice on Saros. I believe, big picture.
That's heartwarming.
In 2028, he'll get fired because of the choice on Saros, even though you think that I'm some bobo who just acquiesces to Trotz when he comes on the show and I hold his ass to the fire. You know, this isn't like other people when they interview Rand Carthon and ask him about Kendrick and Drake. You know, this is not friend zone here when it comes to the interviews. And I say this because I do think
put that light, that spotlight in his face, and it's just like you're the
Dirty
Harry.
I do feel like 6 years from now, 7 years from now, whenever it is, if this team's good, and Saros is going to hold him back, because I think he's not a winner. I think he kind of sucks, and I think he's getting worse, and I think that may be the end all be all for Trotz if he's got some guys up in the NHL and they're kind of competitive, but they can't get over the hump because their goalie secretly sucks and everybody over there has Sarosism where they think that he's freaking great. Willie thinks they would have won 3 cups in Edmonton with Saros as the goalie.
I heard that.
And I think that it was a terrible move. I do. At the same time, when Barry Trotz got hired in 2023, I and many other Predator fans were waving the white flag saying, please give up on this core. Please tear this down. Please start a rebuild. And from that moment, they acquired all those draft choices for Tanner Jeannot, and they traded away Matthias Ekholm, and they traded away Mikael Granlund, and they traded away Nino Niederreiter. And when that happened, you and I, if you're being intellectually honest, knew that this wasn't going to be a 2024-2025 fix. So I, because Barry Trotz said to the fans when he got hired, fans, be patient. It's going to be a rough ride. They won more games than they thought they were going to win the first year. That doesn't change anything for me. Again, it's still about the young
guys. You don't think
guys.
It changed things for him? You think when he signed these guys a year ago, Jared, he was saying, now listen, we're in a rebuild and we're not really trying to win now, but hey, come on to Nashville. No. That information
he doesn't have to say. He's not saying that we're not trying to win. I think he told those guys, hey, with you and Josi and Forsberg and Saros and the other two, we think we can win. And so let's go together.
So a year ago, we were
I don't think that's what he was telling Bill Haslam. I don't think that's what he was telling Bill Haslam. I think he was telling Bill Haslam.
What was he telling Bill Haslam?
I think he was telling Bill Haslam, like, hey, the core of what we're trying to do is still 19 years old. And so let's spend some money on these guys and let's see where it goes. I think we'll be competitive. We're not going to win the cup with these guys, but we should be able to have a playoff team.
Then why did you sign Soros? Then why did you extend Soros? Again, everything you're saying does not add up with Soros.
Yes, it does, because all these guys, and just because what I'm about to say is what I think they think does not mean that it's what I think. But when they drafted all these guys, how long does it take before these guys are ready to play in the NHL? 4 or 5 years, right?
Typically.
And it takes about 6 or 7 before they enter their prime, right?
So when Soros is 37.
That's when they've signed him to. They think he's still going to be good then.
Oh, God. Okay.
Don't think that.
That deal was signed, Jarrett. Now, that's garbage. Everybody knows that the back end of these deals, that's just the pain that you have to sign up for, Jarrett. See, now you're trying to make arguments that don't add up whatsoever. Everybody believes that. Robbie, help me out here.
I mean, I don't think you sign UC Soros because you think he's still going to be an elite goaltender at age 37.
I think you guys don't know the Predators. Like, I want to
get
rid of Soros.
I don't know the Predators, who spent more time around than any non-employee.
I don't think you guys understand how much what the normal person thinks about UC Soros is not what they think. They have a disease over there. I don't understand.
Fine, but they still understand
they
that he's
have
in his
the
prime
same
now,
disease
so the prime
that Tony
years
Khan
years
has
going
with
for
Trevor
it.
Lawrence. He thinks Trevor Lawrence in Jacksonville is Joe Burrow. He's not. They think Soros is, like, freaking the best goalie in the world. They think he's going to be good 8 years from now. I'm telling you.
Jared, we'll have to leave it there. We'll pick it up again next week. Thank you for being with us.
Hey, if they start off 0-5 again, fire Trotz, according to Joe.
It probably does not speak well for the
coach. Never said that at all.
It would not be if they start 0-5.
It does not speak well. Thank you, Jared.
See you guys.
Well, I'll react to what Jared had to say. We got Jeff Fisher coming up at 7:30. All that ahead, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, the game. This week's Nashville's best deal is Body Rock. Plank, lunge, twist, and push your limits with Body Rock's dynamic muscle sculpting Pilates-inspired classes designed to rock your body to the core. Get half off a $50 gift card at thegamenashville.com/deals to use at any of Body Rock's 4 Nashville locations while supplies last. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, the game. We'll have Jeff Fisher coming up here in just a few minutes. Joe, your quick thoughts on Stilly's Soros take. It's hard for me. Like, look, I understand that I don't think this is just a Predators thing. I think there are some organizations that absolutely just fall in love with their players sometimes and maybe don't have the same view on those players as other people around either their respective league or fans do. And I don't know how the Soros part of it factors in. I know that they believe in UC Soros. Do I believe that they signed UC Soros to a contract, Joe, because they thought by the time that Igor Surin is 27 – that Soros is going to be like leading the charge to the Stanley Cup? It's hard for me to get there.
Yeah, it's somewhere in Jared's faulty argument, he had to come up with, you have to somehow support it with something that's just not plausible. And that's a good example. These NHL deals, and not just in the NHL, I mean, you see it in baseball too, right? In particular with the term of some of these deals where, and NFL, I mean, in any pro league, there are deals sometimes that have such terms that, you're signing up for what you think are being incredibly rewarding early part of the contract, and you know that you're going to have pain at the end of it, and that's just the cost of doing business. And that's what this was. You know, this whole argument with Jared and I on like Trotz and the Preds started with the Jared vs. Joe, where the question David Reed asked was just what next year is a I think he said like a respectable or a suitable response from the Preds. Like what's an okay bounce back year for the Preds? It wasn't about Trotz being fired. And Jared said 85 points. And I was just like, so you're telling me that if they get 85 points next year and don't make the playoffs, oh, that's okay. Just because they lowered the bar so incredibly low this year. Now next year is like, well, just if you can just be okay with this roster, then great. No, that would be infuriating. And that would be worse than just being at the bottom again and maybe getting into the, and being able to get the kid whose name eludes me right now. So that's where it started. Thank you. That's where it started for me. It's like, how could you lower the standard like that? I mean, look, you can't. I understand the idea, Robbie, about, you know, he hasn't mortgaged away like a ton of prospects and picks. He has that stuff, and that's good. But I also like Jared, and I think some fans also, but I don't think too many are like looking at this time period right now like it doesn't really count. Like it's like preseason football or something. I mean, they made choices that said, let's go. And a year ago, when we celebrated these signings, Robbie, I know that I said, okay, we had segments. What's a good season? And I said, get into the conference final. It seems hilarious that I said that now, but that wasn't like an insane thing to say a year ago.
You know, when people would have been pretty happy last year with 68 points and this next season with 85 points, had they gone completely young and you had Yaroslav Askarov in goal and he was building, probably would have been okay
exactly.
with 68 points and 85 exactly. points. UC Saros in goal, signing Stamkos, Marchessault, Brady Shea, and what you did last summer, it changes the math. I'm sorry. It just does.
I don't – like, I really don't think many people would disagree with that. I hope not. But we know one who does.
We do. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Jeff Fisher will join us coming up next. We'll get his thoughts on the Titans and his thoughts on what's a big weekend for the Nashville Cats coming up in Clarksville. All that coming up next. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063 the game. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063 the game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ian Safar here with you on this Friday morning. We are taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. 615-737-1025. We'll have the Rob rant coming up here in just a few minutes at 745. Big weekend coming up for the Nashville Cats out at F&M Bank Arena in Clarksville, which, by the way, is an incredible facility if you've not been out there and seen it. And to help us talk more about that, we head to our 1025 The Game phone line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And welcome in the coach, Jeff Fisher, to the program. Jeff, good morning. How are we doing?
I'm doing great, guys. Good morning. Friday morning, man. Pretty cool. This week went fast, didn't it?
Sure went by really, really fast. We appreciate so much you taking time to be with us on the program. Jeff, I just want to kind of start there. You know, F&M Bank Arena in Clarksville, I've been out there a few times. It's a really awesome place. I know you guys are really looking forward to Sunday at 4:30 and seeing what that environment is going to look like.
Yeah, we are. I mean, last year, you know, as we brought the Cats back last year, pretty much under a different ownership, you know, kind of group and things, we wanted to reach out. We kind of explored, you know, and we got a game set up out there last year, and it was a great experience. You know, it was our first time, my first time. I really didn't have any idea that such a great facility was up there in Clarksville. And so we went up, and it was a huge success for us last year. And then we decided, let's see if we can get one, you know, this coming year. We did that last weekend. And, you know, as things would have had, fate would have had it, we end up with another game up there, cause first playoff game here. And so, you know, stranger things have happened. There's an outside chance. I can't tell you what the percentages are, but there's an outside chance if we win and Salina goes into Albany and upsets Albany, we'll be playing up there again next week. So, yeah, it's been a great experience for us. Great people up there, great fan base, you know, in conjunction with the base and, you know, just everybody. It was really, really happy and pleasing for the organization, the league, and even the fans that came. Just the event that we put on last week, we nearly sold it out. We're expect to sell this one out here Sunday.
So I want to get more into that with you here in just a few minutes, because I know there's some tailgating going on this weekend, and we'll get kind of the rundown on that coming up here in just a few minutes. I do want to kind of start with you on this as well. As you evaluate and you're looking at Cam Ward with the Titans, and obviously with your extensive experience in the NFL as head coach, for a rookie quarterback, what are maybe one or two of the most important things in your opinion that you want to see from a rookie quarterback that signals to you that they're headed in the right direction by the time year one is said and done?
Well, a lot of it's been discussed. It was discussed for weeks and weeks leading up to the draft, certainly because of where the Titans were picking and the evaluation period and process. But it's the poise and the composure and the personality that walks in the building on day one. And, you know, and I've said this numerous times, you know, the NIL, and you guys talk about it all the time, I'm sure, but golly, what it's doing to college football and this and that. Well, I'll tell you what it did to quarterbacks and the quarterback selection and the evaluation process. If there's a positive, and there are, but as it relates to that, the Titans had an opportunity to go out and talk to three different staffs, three different coaching staffs, trainers, people. They got more information about camp. You know, it's not like in old days where, you know, you got one program, you're in there talking to the head coach, you're talking to the trainer, you may go back and do all your research and talk to, you know, a high school coach or things like that. They have more information there. So he went through, what I'm saying is he went through three different systems. He was a quarterback in three different systems. He was in three different locker rooms. He had to adjust. And the information out there was every time he stepped into a new environment, he thrived. And he's real. His leadership qualities are, there's nothing fake to him. He's legitimate. He's genuine. You saw this past week where a coach was talking about how he was calling plays, you know, whenever it was, a week or so ago. And Cam and Jeffrey Simmons are just, they're just jawing at each other. And coach is thinking, well, he's got to pay attention to this. I'm sending a play in. He got the play. He's talking crap to his defensive captain. At the same time, goes up, executes the play. So I think because of the information that we have on Cam up to this date, everything points to the fact that I can't guarantee you that he's going to start day one. I would think he probably is. But if they decide to wait a week or two or 6 weeks or whatever it is, every situation is different with respect to the quarterbacks there. You know, we drafted Jared Goff, in St. Louis and or L.A., you know, when I was out there. Jared at Cal had never called a play in the huddle before. I mean, a play came in from the sideline on cards, which is great. But Jared needed to learn how to call a play in the huddle. It took him some time. We didn't start Jared till, you know, week 10 or whatever it was. But, I mean, in this case, all indications are that Cam is ready to go, you know, and then you got to get into the football and the X's and O's and make sure you got, you know, your offensive line is healthy. They're sound in protection, and we're going to run the ball a little bit, take the pressure off the quarterback. But I think the sky's the limit for this young man. Everything that I've heard, I've not met him, but everything that I've heard is that he is just, he's rare in the locker room, as a teammate, as a leader, natural ability. He's competitive. He understands. It's not easy. The game is fast. It's a different game that he's stepping into right now with the, you know, and the obvious things, not stating the obvious, but the speed and everything. But he's going to thrive. I mean, he has everything right now. There's no reason that he's not going to be successful. And successful early on in his career. Now, how early that is, I can't tell you that. There's a lot of other factors involved.
Well, you touched on something, Jeff, that I wanted to ask you about, because it is different now. Like you said, there's so many things that have changed, NIL, and it's a great point about having more evaluations. But everything is accelerated now too, right? I mean, obviously it's a different time with McNair, but you guys took your time and it worked out beautifully. Like you said, Goff, it was several weeks. It seems like now it's just a built-in expectation that a guy like Cam Ward would start week one. It seems like more and more we see careers start right away and also maybe flame out, but then sometimes we see guys emerge somewhere else, and it's like, actually, maybe if you would have given them more time on the front end, maybe it would have worked out differently. Do you think that's a problem, and do you think there's a case to be made, you know, to give him a little bit of time and not just automatically throw him into the starting spot?
I think what I'm saying is there are external factors that you can anticipate, you can control, and you have to be mindful of that. These are the decision makers, okay? This is the head coach, this is the offense coordinator, whoever. If you can do it too soon, and you want to make sure that they're prepared and they know what they're doing. I mean, I followed Sam Darnold. I watched Sam coming out. I saw what happened to him at the Jets. I knew, you know, exactly why it happened, why he had the difficulty, why he was seeing ghosts. It wasn't his fault. It was his surroundings. It was decisions that people were making in the building. The offensive staff wasn't in touch with the defensive staff. He's getting all kinds of unfair looks here early in his career that were, you know, presented by the defense. And he's just set back. And it took him a while to work his way out of that. So, you know, I what I'm saying is that I don't see this administration, the coaching staff, and, you know, or anybody in the organization making a mistake that's going to set him back. They're going to be real. And if they say, you know what, he's just not quite ready, we need another week. I mean, three preseason games, and he ain't going to take many shots there. I mean, you know, he's not going to get a whole lot of reps in the preseason. I mean, we're going to see him. You're going to see him for a quarter here, maybe a half, and then his work's going to come, you know, through joint practices or competing against the defense, and that's where he's going to get ready. Everything that he's going to do from this point on is to get ready for the opener. And so they're going to make a decision, you know, as they move forward. One, is he ready? Two, how are we going to handle it? How are we going to game plan? And what are we going to do to provide a platform for him to where he can be successful early on? Now, I don't think in what I know, I mean, I haven't met the young man, but everything I hear and I'm told and that you guys have heard is they're not external factors that are going to ruffle his feathers. This kid has that. He has those qualities right now to where I don't think, I mean, you can hit him with a bus and I mean, he's going to get right back up and throw a touchdown pass. You know, I mean, this kid's different. And, you know, I'm excited to watch it play itself out.
So, Jeff, obviously a huge weekend coming up for you guys, as we mentioned, out at F&M Bank Arena in Clarksville. If our listeners are looking for tickets, you can find those on NashvilleCats.com. But just what has this year, this experience been like for you? What do you make of the matchup against Southwest Kansas and the tailgating and everything that's going to be involved coming up this weekend?
Well, I'm excited. I'm excited for the Cat fans, the second generation of Nashville Cat fans, and then just people that absolutely just love the, you know, the 50-yard game, the indoor world. I knew nothing about it 2 years ago. I mean, granted, you know, they were practicing our facility, and the Cats were rolling for years way back when we were, you know, making our deal happen. And 2 years ago, I got involved, and, you know, I'm in that world. Coaching, you help people, and I got involved. I wanted to help and said yes and ended up getting into a little more than I anticipated last year, but I have no regrets. I'm really excited about where I am with respect to and where the league's going and with respect to the Cats. And, you know, it wasn't an easy off season. We had some ownership issues, but we got things settled. I think we got one of the best. Well, it's going to be the all-time winningest coach in indoor football history after, you know, a handful of wins. But Coach Arbett's got a team together. They've gotten better and better each week. And here we are, four teams now in the playoff scenario. So we're going to host, as you said, Southwest Kansas. They are a really, really good team. You know, the two Kansas teams are in the playoffs, Salina and Southwest. Salina's going to Albany. And, you know, the winner of these games are going to meet in the championship. And we're just hoping that, you know, our club here, the Nashville Cats, have an opportunity to compete for that. So great stuff going on, you know, Sunday, 4:30 kickoff, F&M Bank Arena, as you said. We're going to start up around 2 o'clock there, just really across the street from F&M Bank. There's a public park, if you will, and the city of Clarksville is going to put on a big festival, you know, with food trucks and entertainment and all kinds of stuff, so people can come out, enjoy themselves, and then slide on into an air-conditioned, beautiful air-conditioned venue and watch an indoor game, which is really, really exciting.
Yeah, looking forward to that coming up this weekend. Again, if you're out there looking for tickets, go to NashvilleCats.com. Chase and Big Joe will have the call coming up on 93.3 FM as well. And again, that's Sunday coming up at 4:30. Jeff, really appreciate your time as always. Thanks so much for taking time to be with us this morning. We will talk to you soon, and good luck this weekend.
I look forward to that, and we're all looking forward to the start of training camp as well. So we'll keep an eye on the quarterback, but in the meantime, he's on vacation getting ready for training camp start. In the meantime, let's focus in on what the Cats are doing. How's that?
Absolutely. That sounds good to me. Jeff, have a great weekend, man. We'll talk to you soon.
Thank you. You guys do the same. Thank you.
Absolutely. Jeff Fisher, our guest here on the program. Nashville Cats in action this weekend. Again, NashvilleCats.com, where you can find those tickets. And as you heard him lay out there, lots of stuff going on around the building at F&M Bank Arena on the tailgating front coming up on Sunday. So it should be a really fun weekend for the playoffs as the Cats take on Southwest Kansas. We'll have the Rob Rant coming up next. Teron Davenport will be with us at 8 o'clock. All that ahead. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, the game.
Don't make me angry.
Sometimes you have to tell someone to pound sand.
You wouldn't like me when I'm angry.
This is the Rob Rant.
Now
on Robbie and Rex Road.
Atlanta has selected Brett Favre, quarterback, Southern Mississippi.
I didn't receive my paycheck this week.
You're going to have to talk to payroll about that.
I did. I believe you have my stapler.
Could not tell if there was a forearm or an elbow, but L is down and just finally getting back to his feet. Yes, a right elbow by Corey Perry.
Over the line!
That nobody knows about this but us, all right? No family members, no girlfriends, nobody.
Of course. Agreed.
Don't worry, man. I won't tell anyone either.
Corey Perry is gone.
Number 10.
He's a habitual line stepper.
We're vibing, Robbie.
Hey, Robbie. Still vibing, kid?
Still vibing,
bud. We're vibing, Robbie. Vibing, 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 vibing. We're vibing, Robbie.
Oh, it is that time of the day. The Rob Rant here on Robbie and Rex Road. Ian Safar continues to be an absolute legend. With the mashups.
That was beautiful. A
lot of Office Space toss in there, Joe. And now I get it.
Hey, before you start, Robbie. Well, I didn't know you farted, Lundberg! All right, go ahead.
Thank you. Good stuff. By the way, prior to yesterday, I mean, this is really my own fault. No idea Jennifer Aniston was in that movie. It was a welcome surprise.
Yeah. It's one of the, in the list of pros and cons, it goes in the pro
it's
list.
It's in the pro category. No doubt about that. All right, so
about
I want to
flare, please.
Yeah, I want to talk today about Corey Perry. We've talked a lot about Corey Perry this week, and I know that Corey Perry, when you ask Nashville Predators fans, it does not take long to get down the list of like most hated players in franchise history. Corey Perry is either at the top or certainly within like the top two or three of most hated players. I mean, you could find different people on there. Like Ryan Kessler's on there and Patrick Kane's on there. And, you know, back in the day, Chris Chelios probably
Burrows.
On there. Burrows. Burrows.
Alexander
on there.
Burrows.
There's a lot of different guys you could probably point to. Perry, I think, probably universally is no worse than second or third for most Predator fans. So I realize that the fact that he has now lost 5 Stanley Cup finals in a row and 5 in the last 6 years is objectively hilarious for most Predators fans around here. So that part of it, I'm not looking to change your mind because – frankly, I think it's kind of funny too. But he was asked a question yesterday at his end-of-season media availability about the Cup Finals that I could not really believe was asked. Here's what Corey Perry was asked yesterday in Edmonton.
Corey, going to that many Stanley Cup Finals and losing, when you look back at that, is that devastating or are you glad for that experience? How does a player view that?
Yeah, it's devastating. I mean, 5 of the last 6, it doesn't get any easier. It doesn't feel real, but, you get ready and you move on. And I mean, you get ready for next season. Hopefully you have that opportunity again.
You don't look back 10 years from now and say that was pretty cool to get there that many times and be a part of it.
Well, yeah, maybe in 10 years when I look back, whenever I'm done playing.
Hey, Corey, does losing 5 Stanley Cups in a row suck, or is that awesome? Like, what are we doing? Like, look, sometimes I think that athletes on occasion, Joe, and we've talked about this, there have been some famous examples, maybe get a little bit too sensitive up there when they're asked questions and they kind of fly off the handle sometimes. And then there are other times where you just ask stupid questions. And that was a stupid question yesterday. I have no idea who asked it. I mean, I'd have to go back. And one of the problems with playing in a Canadian market is there's like 75 people that cover all these teams. So I have no idea who asked that question yesterday. But I heard it, and I was like, look, man, we all ask dumb questions from time to time. That one was a doozy. Hey, Corey, does losing 5 out of the last 6 Stanley Cup finals, does that suck? Yeah, man, it does. I mean, the chuckle he gave, even I felt a little bit bad for Corey Perry in that question, Joe.
Yeah. Was that Joe Rule? Was that Joe Rule answering that question? Joe famous Rule? Hockey writer, Joe Rule. You know, first of all, I agree. Like, as much as I can't stand Corey Perry, I actually have to give him a tip of the cap for how he handled that. He laughed, but then he actually went through an answer. There are people who would have flown off the handle at that. And honestly, it would have been okay. The thing is, I understand the idea behind the question.
It was poorly phrased.
If you ask it correctly, which is like, I think it's sort of like, can you take any solace in getting there despite the obvious devastation? But when you're like, are you devastated or like kind of happy about it? You know, it's like, no, this is not how you phrase a question.
Hey,
at
man.
You didn't use talk about it, I guess. So we got that going for us.
Corey, do you like winning or do you like losing? Which one's better, winning or losing? I mean, I couldn't believe that question was asked yesterday.
Yeah, it's if someone stamps on your foot, does that hurt or do you just appreciate the foot?
Oh, man. Corey Perry, hey, look, interested if he gets back, maybe he re-signs in Edmonton. Maybe there's a thought out there that Joe, he might explore free agency. So wherever he goes, I mean, you can pretty much count on him being in the Cup Final next year and then being sent packing in the Cup Final. I'll be interested.
So again, I mean, Preds, hey, man, you know, I mean, you'll take another loss in the Cup Finals, the greatest moment in team history. Yeah, finally people can embrace Corey Perry. Texter says, fart that guy. He deserves all these losses. I'm glad he got asked such a dumb question.
Hey, I mean, it was definitely a dumb question. I'm glad that, I'm glad Predators fans can take solace in the pain of Corey Perry, because there's been a whole lot of it over the last 6 years. 615-737-1025, our phone number, 615-737-1025. Teron Davenport will be with us coming up next. We'll get into all things Tennessee Titans with him. Robbie and Rex Rowe, 1025-1063, The Game.